This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.
I just want to welcome everyone that has just tuned into Radio K Pulpit. I'm Alana Olifi with Body Matters, where everybody in the body of Christ matters. Today we are going to discuss Elohim and the topic of sonship and the orphan spirit. There are many of us, even though we are Christians, we sometimes feel like we're so disconnected from God and we experience this empty void inside of us and a sense of not belonging anywhere. God is just somewhere in the distance, but we need to know that God never created us to feel that way. We were never meant to feel like orphans, but sons and daughters of the living God. So before I introduce you to my special guest who is going to touch on this topic, I would like to read a scripture from Romans 8:15 to confirm this statement. And it says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." So without a further ado, I'm going to introduce you to our guest, and that is Daniel Breers. He's a farmer from Paul and the owner of Elohim Farm, and he's radical and on fire for the Lord. So welcome, Daniel.
Hello, everybody. I grew up on the farm, and it's been a privilege. I've got a beautiful son who also loves the Lord by grace. The farm's original name was Hans Lorenz Rivier, and I was very happy to grow up with my father being a farmer and that. And so Elohim's farm, we farm with cattle mostly. God calls me his cattle boy. My son farms with pigs. He loves it actually. He's still at school, 16 years old. And I'm blessed to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you, Daniel. I just want you to tell us a little bit about the farm. Tell us, what does Elohim mean?
Well, first of all, Elohim, when God saved me, put it on my heart that everything is God. So Elohim is God more than one, and it's used in Genesis quite a few times. And then I just realized I wanted to call it God's land, but that's El Ha'iret, which is God's ground, but it's a little bit long. So I found out that Elohim just implies God, the Trinity, and with a brace in there, it just says it's his. And so everything we touch and do, we want to say it's Elohim's, it's God's. And before we say everything, even it's this interview, it's to the glory of God, and it's Amen. Elohim's. And and I think that's just giving glory to God.
Yeah, no, that is awesome, because I mean, that is so just so in tune with our topic today, which is sonship, you know, meaning that we belong to him, his children.
Amen.
And also just want to ask you to tell us a little bit about what you're currently busy with on the farm, your activities and ministry.
Yeah, what we basically do is the Lord just said to me, open the doors. So I opened the gate. We actually prayed that last year at the end at a meeting, we prayed that for the doors, for the gates, the farm gates to be open. And that's something that's very big in my heart, is every farm for God.
Awesome.
From here to Cairo, every farm borders Elohim's farm. So we have to start somewhere. And I said, Lord, use this farm to your glory. And we just said, we're proclaiming, we actually did it this year also after a run. We had and we do that sometimes. It's like an obstacle course through a friend of mine that she does that. She does obstacle course. So we run.
That's awesome.
One of the things I believe is the body of Christ to be more fit and look after your physical bodies. Don't harm the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 17. Let no one harm the temple of God, especially not you. So we do that, encourage people to run. And I had a privilege of also loving sport. I love sport. I love triathlons and doing it for God. But after that, we had this praise session and also a dance on the farm. And that was about opening the gates.
Amen.
So every farm gate to be open for the body of Christ to come in, and to close that gate for nothing evil to come onto the farm,
Amen.
Because the land belongs to the Lord. And it's really to invite, as I sit here, to invite the body of Christ to the farms. Come to the farms. Come take the land to the glory of God and give him praise. And that's one of the things that we encourage to do there as well. We have camps on the farm. The Lord, as you know, the sonship has been in my heart all the time. So the Lord uses the farm in 2011 for the first Mighty Men after the Mighty Men's of Dad Anger stopped in 2010. And being a spiritual son of Dad, it was just called on our hearts or laid on our hearts to have a Mighty Men. So we had amazing, the Mighty Men, just men sitting there and praying. It's always been my heart. If it really touched my heart as men, putting their knees on the ground, actually physically, and just pray and giving praise to God. And he comes and he's just a healer. And then the Lord said to me, but it's not about just, people ask me, how do you become a son of Angus? And I respect him, Angus, and I love him as a dad. Yes. And I know he will agree with this. But I was like, why don't you ask me, am I a son of God?
Amen.
And that is the thing that became my focus, is sons of God. Taking your sons, as Romans 8 verse 19, the whole creation waits, tippy-toe, that farm. I see it in the trees. I see it in the animals. They're waiting for us to take up our sonship. And that's so authority when you take up your sonship. So to come back on activities on the farm, is women camps they've had there, men camps, especially father and son camps. I take hands with other organizations, any organization. My only criteria is give God all the glory.
Amen. That's,
and then I take hands with you 100%. Just promise me you're giving God all the glory.
Yes.
And so World Needs a Father, Kings and Queens, which is in the World Needs a Father, is basically it's father and son camps that they have there. And it's the opportunity of dads and sons really connecting with God, but also with each other. And then Kings and Queens, which is orphans, and raising funds for that also, but raising awareness of protecting the children. And then just fathers, families. It's an opportunity where we more move of God. So when I speak about Elohim's like a ministry, I would say Elohim's move. Let's do something. Let's invite people to come and praise Him. So we have praise and worship session. We have as camping and sitting under the trees. That's one big thing of me. Is the Lord called me to be under the trees as His cattle boy. So praise God for that. It's so just people to come there and camp. Yes. And just families being together. And also, the one thing is when we have like a men's camp, it's actually to invite their wives the next day and giving that opportunity of men taking back their authority in the house with love and blessing their families. Yeah, the Lord also put in my heart the feast. Not because of the feast, but because of the blood of Jesus, because of the love of Jesus. And I think everything is a feast when I'm also a big thing in my heart is baptism. And the thing is, I always call it the baptism feast because it's also when we baptize on the farm, and especially just children, to have the privilege of children being baptized by God to the glory of God.
Amen.
And
that's
to proclaim over them. Because if you look at the baptism of Jesus, something totally different happened there. They proclaimed over Him. This God proclaimed over Him. This is my beloved Son in whom I greatly pleased. And I can't help it, but led by the Spirit, I just proclaim over every single baptism. As you baptize, as you come out of that water, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm greatly pleased. And for the ladies out there, I love you all as well, and God loves you. And I think to just explain that as we talk on, you will see I always talk about sons of God. But remember, I am the bride of Christ. And as a man, there's something intimate about not being His bridegroom, but being the bride of Christ.
Yes.
That's such a strong thing that we as men must embrace and take it up. And that doesn't mean I must wear a dress or be less man. I'm more a man because I receive that I'm also the bride of Christ. And I believe it for every lady, every woman, every young girl out there to take that you are also in spirit and true, your sonship as a firstborn son of God, to be truly a woman of God, to be a son of God as well. So it's sonship and and camps and availability. We've got a few houses there and camping facilities, a little LAPA and that,
I think that's awesome. I think just the fact that you're prepared to open up your doors for ministries to come and to take hands with you, that is an open invitation. So we are going to give Daniel's details at the end of this recording. So we'll be there. So Daniel, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to come back after this. And Daniel's going to share his testimony. This is Body Matters with Alana Olifere, and my guest is Daniel Breers from Elohim Farm, and we are discussing sonship and the orphan spirit. Daniel, don't you want to share a little bit about your testimony? And I know that you also struggled with the orphan spirit. Can you just tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I grew up, as I said, on the farm, but since a little boy, I had a relation. I know God was there growing up in the church and that, but then the devil stole from me, and he really let me believe that I'm an orphan, I'm not good enough. And in that sense, it was always with my father, and I had an amazing father. He also loved the Lord, but in more in a religious way, the way we were growing up. And then when I was young, my dad's brother was like, I really loved him because I love hunting, and he was in the neighboring farm, the old family farm, Wambuti, and he passed away of cancer. And it really broke my heart. And the only thing it really did is it was a stop street in my life, but I didn't stop. I received more and more orphan spirit. And then 2 years later, 2 years later, 89, my dad, it was 3 years later, my dad passed away. I was 16. And it was another big stop street in my life. I loved my dad, but we also were struggling because I was 15, 16 years old, and I was almost fighting him in a way. And that's all the enemy's way of letting you out of orphan spirit. And I believe my dad also had that. The orphan spirit was also, he was struggling with that. But by the grace of God, he got cancer. And I really want to say it out there. God brings every evil to the good. And I can honestly testify, my uncle was a very hard man and a very strong man and a very strong-willed farmer and successful, and he gave his life to Jesus because cancer was his stop street. He couldn't get around it. And my dad's stop street was his cancer. He was a strong man going on doing his life, but it was a big, big stop street. And I know that after 23 years, I found out he lifted his hands up and he gave his life to Jesus.
That's amazing.
I mean, and will I want him here today? Yes. Will I swap that or change or exchange that for his eternal life? Never, ever. Dad, you stay there because you're with Jesus. And And then I just rebelled more and more against my own life. And the thing is, I hated myself. And that's part of orphan spirit. You start, whenever you start to do good things, because you want to feel better about yourself. And running in orphan spirit, I actually lived for people. For my friends became like my fathers. And also one of my best friends died in 1999, died of cancer as well. Tolly, and those who know him, he gave his life to Jesus. It was another stop street. But yeah, I really want to testify, I never stopped. I ran underneath it. I climbed over it. And maybe you testify today your heart with this, how you fight to go on with this thing of just going on. And the more you get these stop streets, the more you fight. But you come out of that with scars and hurt, and all you do is you try to run faster. And in the orphan spirit, it's all about performance.
Yes.
And being good enough, or trying to prove that you're good enough. So what happened is the whole thing, it was a rat race. So God showed that to me eventually. It was like a rat race. And I want to say it, if you win this race, you're a rat. If you go on with this race, there's no, and I believe everyone listening here knows that what we're doing in life, when we're performing, trying to be better, trying to be better than others, to achieve, performance driven, that whole thing is a rat race, and you're just a rat. And God allows stop streets, but you must stop. So I was married, and I got a beautiful little son, and after a year, we broke up. He was like 9 months old. He was 9 months old. And she left. And I couldn't see him. And it really, really broke me. They were in Uppington. I couldn't see him in the beginning. But eventually I got it right that I could see him. And I went there to Uppington every second weekend for 2 years. Because one of the things is that the father hurt. I know how hurtful it is to be without a father. I was unsaved. The weekends that I wasn't there, I was just partying and going on, trying to forget about it. So, yeah, I must testify, I was one of God's naughtiest children. So I want to say to you, there's no judgment in me by grace. I cannot judge anyone. And I want to say to you, people have said it to me, that if God can save me, He can save anyone. Sure. I tell you today, it doesn't matter what the enemy says to you, He will save you. Jesus loves Amen. You. And if you agree and you accept Him, He says there's no condemnation, Romans 8 verse 1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in driving up in the bus, I had this, it was terrible because Thursday nights I would go up in the bus and Friday mornings early I would see him. And then on Sunday nights, that was the worst. I would be in the bus and he would be outside, a little boy just wanting to be with his father. And it just broke my heart. It totally broke me. But I had the privilege to sit in the bottom of the Intercape buses. And there was just older ladies that the Lord put next to me. And it would just come out of my mouth. Just pray for me.
Sure.
And that's when your stop street is big enough.
Yes, you're at a breaking point.
Yes, where you're totally at breaking point. You will ask people. I promise you, ask people just to pray for you. And I said to them, please pray for me. And they prayed for me. And the one, it was 2007 at the end, I had a lady friend who said to me, but Daniel, pray. Because she loved the Lord, and I thank her for that. And she said to me, Daniel, pray. And I said to her, but I've prayed. And she said, yes, but believe him.
Sure.
And I prayed, powerful. And I believed. And I believe my whole testimony, and I say it especially for men, young men, strong men, all the men out there. It takes a man to give up.
Amen.
It takes everything to say you don't make it. I did not make it in the rat race.
Sure.
I don't want to.
Mm.
And I stopped at that stop street. I still struggled. It wasn't smooth after that or that easy. But I had this testimony that in a month, she phoned me and she said she's coming down to Cape Town.
Amen.
And I could see my boy more. And it just lifted my eyes. And I saw that God is good. And I went to Dad Angus Mighty Men. And it was, I will always remember in 2008, it was Dying to Live. And on my whenever I'm on the doors of my bucky, it was Dying to Live. Because that's Galatians 2.20, and it stands on my gate of my farm. If you enter the Elohims, Galatians 2.20, with Christ I've died and I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I'm living, but Christ that lives in and through me. And it's actually that thing of stopping, giving up, and dying to self so that we can really, really be alive. And I really welcome you to put your hands up and just say, Lord, that's it. I can't anymore. Maybe you're really at the point today just listening to this and just saying, Lord, I can't anymore.
Yeah.
I'm giving up. Praise God for giving up to Him.
Yes. And surrendering.
Yes, all. Dying to self. Mm. Because those who want to keep their lives will lose it. But those who give it to Him will receive eternal life. That's the whole gospel, is giving up, stopping at the stop street. And still, it was a little bit of a struggle after that because I had the tendency, hardkoppig in Afrikaans. I'm Afrikaans,
stubborn,
if you guys are stubborn. And I didn't really want to turn around. And what I just want to show this to people also, I started walking backwards. God just said to me, walk then backwards. If you struggle to turn around, because I want to say to people, it's not good doing 360s.
Mm.
And I think I did a few of that. It's like a 360, but you're back.
Back to square one.
Heading the same direction. And just remember that the two directions is really, you have to turn 180.
Yes.
But the difficulty when you walk backwards, that stop street that's so huge becomes smaller and smaller as you walk backwards. And then you find that you try it again. So you run to it again and you try to jump over it and you just can't. So that's also part of my journey is to tell people, you know, if you had a stop street, give up and turn around. It's much easier. Turn your back on the whole world. On because as you walk back, as you see friends and things that you are used to going away from you, running away, going on with their lives. And you're like thinking, Lord, what is this? But it is like that. Amazingly, everybody comes back to you, but in a total different way.
Mm.
All your friends come back as brothers. So I was walking backwards and I got to the point where I started. It's like when you run 100 meters to your blocker, Wegsprung blocker, starting blocks.
Starting points, yes.
Yeah, so I'm at the starting blocks because it's like really this race. And I was about 5 years old, and the blocks was where I was 5 years old. And I said, Lord, what is this? Here's really where I started.
Yes.
And the Lord said, yes. He said, would you turn around now? I said, Lord, is this all a lie? He says, it's only a testimony, because that is not the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And by the grace of God, I could turn 180 degrees. And here I was standing, and everything in front of me was life and life in abundance.
Amen.
Everything has eternal value. Mm. The one main thing that stands out, you don't have to run. You don't have to rush. You don't have to perform. You are my son.
And I think that's where you come to that point where you totally surrender everything in God's hands.
Amen. I just want to say with this also, after that I was saved and I as the, walking with Dad Angus as a father also, and knowing that you accepted as sons in ministry and all that, there's always hurts along the way as well.
Mm.
But the Lord, and after that, it wasn't like everything easy.
Yeah.
I was saved for 3 years and I was at Touching Hearts. Praise God for that ministry also. And I was going to speak the morning there, or just testify. And as I was driving there, I said, Lord, I love you. I live for you.
Mm.
But my son is not in my house because he still stays with his mother. And I was struggling to see him more, to have him more at my house and to have more time and him being part of the farm. And the Lord said to me that morning, which was actually beautiful, and he said to me, Daniel, I'm allowing it. I said, Lord, why? He says, because you must see how hurt I am.
Sure.
That my sons are not growing in my house, in my presence, because of legal rights. And I really want to say to you, give all legal rights over your life, over your children's life, over everything you touch, to God, to Elohim,
Amen.
To your Father, because he really, that's the thing that hurts him, and is because we don't live in his presence. And I want to say this, that God, the fear of the Lord is because he loves us so much. He loves us so much that if you choose to walk away from him, he will allow you. And that's the fear of the Lord. That's my fear. It's my fear that I will walk away from him through situations or just allowing compromises and walking away from him because he loves you, but he will not manipulate you or keep you there against your will. And that's the fear of the Lord, is to say, Father, just hold me, because I want to be with you always. Like Angus always, Norma Kanjan, come what may, he is my Father.
Yes.
And that's totally the opposite of orphan spirit. Everything is 100% the opposite.
And I also, and I'm just coming back to what you said about, you know, leaving God. But there's always that powerful scripture where God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the work I've started in you, I will bring it to completion.
Amen.
And also, he says, I'm the one that makes you willing and able to obey. So sometimes, you know, God, when we love God, it's out of a respect for him, for what he has done for us. And he says that you know, he won't leave us or forsake. It doesn't matter what we do. He will never let go. And I feel that's just encouraging, that God is, you know, he says, I've chosen you. You haven't chosen me. So in actual fact, God chose us. And so
Amen.
I just want to add to what you're saying.
Because the whole thing is this is, you cannot deserve to be a son of God. Like my son, and you can take it to your own house. My son doesn't have to do anything.
Yes.
He is my son.
Mm.
And it's really today also about the prodigal son. Is God calling those sons back to him?
Mm.
He says, no, it doesn't matter. Yes, but maybe. What about? No, it's applying the blood of Jesus.
Mm.
We just had Passover and it's about the blood, applying the blood of Jesus. You know, we can have the blood of Jesus and the Passover, but if you don't apply it, it's applying that blood. And that blood says, whatever you deserve to not be his son must pass.
Yes.
Because he's just looking at the blood and he says, this is the Son of God.
Yeah.
So you're not, to be good or to, is not the same thing as to be saved. To be perfect is not to be healed. Yeah. Or to healed and perfect is not the same thing. You are healed in Christ when you choose Him. And it's Romans 10, verse 10. I know sometimes the Bible's 9, verse 9 or 10, where He says, with your heart you believe that God's the Father, and with your mouth you confess that Jesus is the Son to be saved.
Yeah.
And that's as simple as that.
And also, we're going to come to that topic where I want you to talk a little bit about sonship and the orphan spirit.
Yes.
But I also want to add to what you were saying, just, you know, that God doesn't, there's nothing, when you give your life to Jesus, there's nothing that you can do to earn His love. He says nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. So it's not by works that we are saved. It's by the confession of our tongue and the fact that we believe that He is the Son of God. So God is never required from us to do anything to be His son or His daughter. And
Amen.
I feel that we want to always earn that love. And when we go into earning God's love, we go into performance. And going into performance is going into your own strength and not in God's strength and His power. But yeah,
actually what you're saying there is actually, you know, Galatians 2:20. But if you take Galatians 2:21, if anyone finds righteousness in any way else, then Jesus Christ has died in vain. And I, for one, to the glory of God, doesn't want to have to be a guy who says that Jesus died in vain. So anything I do is rags if I don't have my love, says the Father. And that's actually the most beautiful point. You know, when you realize you're a son of God, and then maybe we're going to touch on those few points. Mm. How do you know you're a son? Or how do you know you're walking in the orphan spirit? And then the first thing, the word says, you can raise the dead. Well, imagine you're raising the dead, and you can heal the sick and cast out demons in my name. But if you don't have my love, you have nothing. And my love is the first commandment. He says, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, that's everything.
Yes.
That is when you realize you are a son. Without loving God only, not, yes, but what about this guy? What about the second? No, it's stopping at the first commandment and receiving sonship. Because once you're a son, and I say that to daughters as well, once you walk in sonship, then only God will, through you, love your neighbor as who? As yourself. Mm. So what would you lead them to? Sonship. Because if they are sons of God, I always say this to people. If people ask you, are you a pastor? Are you a prophet? Are you this or apostle? And I really commend anybody with their job description and it's really,
or
there's
ministry
amazing.
Or yeah, calling.
Calling, and it's awesome. But the one thing is, whenever you greet somebody, just tell them, I'm a son of God.
Yes.
I'm the firstborn son of God by grace. There's no higher calling. And there's no higher truth, but there's no more humble and more servanthood truth as being a son of God.
Amen.
And on that point, just driving here to the studio today, the Lord just touched this on my heart. He said, you know, it's time to roar. You know, if we want to say, what is the season we're in? It's time to roar. It's not time to just be lambs. I believe it with my whole heart. Jesus is the Lamb, yes, slain on the cross. But He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And through Him, the cross is a doorway. We cannot be sitting in Egypt with the blood on the door and stay there. We need to go through the cross to the tree of life. And when we're truly at the tree of life, we eat love, peace, and joy. And when we eat that, we are sons of God. And when we are sons of God, we're also lions. And on the way here, the Lord said to me, yes, I'm the Lion of Judah. That's your address. But I want to say to you today, if we pray, just receive this, that you are a Lion of Cape Town. You're a Lion of Africa. You are a Lion of Paarl. You are a Lion of Durnville, of Brackenfell, of Tygerberg. You are the Lion that Jesus has put there. And I really want to say to you today, it's the greatest anointing to the glory of God is the anointing of showing up. Just show up to the glory of God.
And I think that goes hand in hand with taking up your authority. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Being the Lion of Judah. The time is now to take up your authority as the son and daughter of God.
Amen.
And we need to push forward. This, I think, now even more so than ever before, that God has called up to take up our authority and our position wherever He's called us to be. And I think that's what you're saying.
And that's in Psalm 68, verse 6. Yeah, 68 verse 6. It says, I am a father for the orphan and a protector of the widow. That is me in my holy temple. Mm-hmm. Now, you are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Don't you know that you're my temple and I abide in you? So what does God do in you? He's a protector of an orphan. Who takes an orphan up? Is a father.
Mm-hmm.
Fathering the orphan. The only thing that will let you leave the orphan spirit is when you know you are fathered and you have a father. That's your identity, that you are a son. Mm. You can never father somebody. And I say this to all the fathers, if you're not a son. You see, Jesus fathered us through doing what? He says, I only do the will of my father. He totally took his sonship. Mm. And as walking as a son, he could father. Mm. And I believe that, excuse me, and that is how we're going forward, is being sons, being fathers.
Yes.
We are in a generation or in a world that's fatherless generations.
Yes.
People are really growing. If we really look at Cape Town, at South Africa, the problem, I had the privilege of going to Senegal with the EFF there, and we prayed there. And it was sonship. It was this whole thing, and the Lord showed me that people that are hurt, and I'm not talking politics, but the EFF, when that mass is there, we prayed with them.
Mm.
And the one thing that stood up is they want a father.
Mm.
So the wrongs in the politics today is not the fault of politicians.
Mm.
It's the fault of the fathers who are not taking up fathership. But we can never father if we're not sons.
Yeah.
So everyone in this country just need to know that they have a father, Father God. But us as men also and women walking out, being fathers, will bring people into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is about family.
Yes.
And if you look in the world, you see all this brokenness. You see all this division and all the lies.
Mm.
And that's when you just touched on it. And when you said, yes, that we're not walking in power. And I really want to touch on that.
Mm.
If you want to know when you are in orphan spirit, and this includes organizations. I really want to say this.
Yeah.
So you must remember, you can be part of a church. I was at the time, but I was walking in orphan spirit.
Mm.
So whatever I wanted to do, I always wanted to please or be better.
Mm.
I wanted to please God.
Mm.
And somebody had to say to me one time, he said to me, Daniel, do you know God is happy all the time?
Sure.
God, you cannot make God happy. He is happy, but He wants to be your father. And if you're His son, you will father. And the difference between a father and a mentor is a mentor will bring you to next to him and teach you what he can do.
Yes, as far as he is.
Yes, on his level. But a father will put you on his shoulders.
Sure.
I must say, this is a testimony. Yes. Those who know me, when Francis was little, and he was always on my shoulders. He would always climb on my shoulders. That's where little daughters, little sons, they want to be on their father's shoulders. And just to bring them higher to those places where you can't even reach.
Yes, you always want the best and better than what you've experienced and what you had.
And that's the body of Christ, is to father people.
Mm.
Don't be stagnant and just becoming next to somebody else.
Yeah.
Just something that I wanted to touch on, that time to roar is what Reinhard Bonnke said. The late Reinhard Bonnke was actually quite beautiful. He was talking about in Germany, and they said to him, but you know the way Reinhard Bonnke, he would just shout and roar. And they had him on a news interview, and they said to him, please, you know, we have a complaint that you don't have to shout at us. We are a civilized nation.
Sure.
Don't shout to us like you're shouting there in Africa, you in Europe now. And he said, if my country, my home country, Germany, the youth are on drugs, they've been stolen away from God. Families are broken. There's lies and there's deception. Don't ask me to purr like a kitten. I will roar like a lion.
Yes.
And I believe also the time that we are in, it's not getting sheep together. It's actually raising the lions. And if you hear this today, just remember who is in you. The most powerful name above all names, Jesus Christ. You are a son. Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, is in you. You are a lion. Roar. Stand up. Stand up for something. Take your house. Take your home. Take your body. But take your streets. Take your land. That's another thing that God's put in my heart from every farm for God, is that we can take every land, every farm for God, that we can take in the land, take in the high places, give God the glory, take the land because it's His, take the government and say, Lord, this is, you are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow. Let's pray that over South Africa, but let it start with us as the body of Christ, as lions who bend their knees only before God, and then we stand up and we make a difference. But every politician, everybody, to bow their knees and know that there's only one, and I say this in Xhosa, Mkulukulu, there's only one Almighty God. There's only one Mkulukulu, and we need to serve Him and live for Him to the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Daniel's details for anybody who would like to get in contact with him. So we'll be back shortly. I'm Alana Oilefier, and you've just tuned into Body Matters, and we are nearly at the end of our discussion of sonship and the orphan spirit. And my guest is Daniel Breers from Elohim Farm. So Daniel, we were still chatting a little bit about the orphan spirit and sonship. Tell us a little bit about what is the orphan spirit and the sonship in a nutshell.
Yeah, I think what it is you can really look at it in a broad way, but the easiest to see is What are you aiming for? And the three things that I really see, and I'll say this for us all, even in the church, even in organizations, if it is seeking power, whenever we as men seek power, we are competing with others. We need the power. That's where spirit of manipulation and all that gets together. It's when we seek power, we are an orphan spirit. When I want to be more powerful than my friend, when I want to be more, so I'm the whole time in competition.
The competent spirit.
The next one is when I'm seeking glory. Glory to the organization, because in an orphan spirit, you will see that you're always part of some organization that you lift up or some guy you're following, because God says, don't follow people, follow me. Mm-hmm. But they will give glory to that, and we will give, and it's all of us when we go into this, when the orphan spirit
operates
to us. Yeah, operates. And then the third thing is we want fame. And I really want to stop at fame. The opposite of fame is fear of man. What will the people say? And that's one of the biggest, the religious spirit is one of the strongest liars out there. It tells you, you're not right to tell people about Jesus. And I'm really here as a farmer telling you, when I'm weak, 2 Corinthians 12:9, when I'm weak, he's strong. So I want to say to you, don't wait till you're perfect. Don't wait till you're even halfway perfect. Jesus sent the woman at the well in John 4. He sent her, she went out and she told those people, I'm not even sure. But on that word, they went to see Jesus at the well. So Jesus can use you. But the fear of man is the opposite of fame, or not the opposite, is connected with fame. So we need acceptance as orphans. When we are orphan spirited, we need to be accepted by people. And the fear of man is linked to that. Mm. So I need fame, but not just fame. I'm also very afraid of talking in front of people when I'm in an orphan spirit. Mm. I will not stand up and say what I believe. I will not stand up and give word. Remember this, you are blessed to be a blessing. Mm. When you know that Jesus is your Savior and you are a son of God, then all three of these things change into the following. You will operate in authority because we serve an almighty God. We're not in a power struggle. Yes. We're not in a power struggle between us. So whenever we see us moving for power, we must say, whoa,
something's wrong.
Go away. I am a son of God. Just proclaim it over each and everyone. And we're going to proclaim it now when we pray over each and everyone, that you are a son, that you know you can walk in total authority in every place you walk as a son of God. The next thing is we give glory to God. all the glory to God.
All the time.
All the time. So I can have Elohim's farm, I can have a ministry, I can have a church. It doesn't matter. The glory goes to who? And that's really for me. It's like every church, just let us as corporately bow our knees also for our organizations, because good ideas are not God ideas.
That's
just
right.
Give the glory to God. And the third one is we don't want fame. We walk in humbleness because the
humility.
Only fame. Yes. And that's the only fame and glory goes to God. And that makes you free to know that God uses nobodies and everybody to his glory. Amen.
Amen. And that's that scripture that says God uses the foolish people to shun the wise. Hey?
Amen.
He
wow.
uses us because we are available. We surrender to him and he can work in us and through us. And it's not by power, not by might, but by his spirit that God can work in us.
Yeah, that's the one thing. It's when you really know that you are his son, you don't need any of this.
Yeah.
You just need him. It's all about him and it's all to him and it's all to his glory.
And abiding in him.
Abiding in him.
Daniel, that is awesome. I just want to thank you so much, just for sharing with us and sharing your heart, because this has really been a discussion from the heart. And I just want to give your details to anyone or any ministry or anyone that wants to get in contact with you.
Yes,
and
you are.
So I'm going to give them your email address, which is Elohims, it's Elohims. me@gmail.com. And I'm just going to repeat it again. It's Elohims.me@gmail.com. Before Daniel ends off with prayer, I just wanted to share something that I felt when I was just preparing for us to get together and have this talk. And so it was just an experience that I had. And maybe this is for someone out there. I just remember a few years ago when I was actually praying, and as I sat down to pray, I would normally say, "Dear Lord." And as I was saying, "Dear Lord," the words "Lord" didn't come out. The word "Dad" came out.
Amen.
And I was like totally amazed. I was like, "Where did that come from?" And then I thought, okay, that's weird. I'm going to pray again. And I said, "Dear Lord," and "Lord" didn't come out. "Dad" came out. And it just struck me that I had no control over my words. And I knew that God wanted me to call him Dad. He wanted to reveal himself to me as Father. And I thought that was so powerful. And it was such a big adjustment, because later on I would say Dad and it sounded weird. But I just felt that God was saying to me, "I am your Father. I want to reveal myself to you as a Father. You've seen me as a provider. You've seen me as, God is a God of, that supplies all our needs, but we don't always experience him as Dad." And so I just feel that maybe for someone out there, maybe someone is struggling with orphan spirit, maybe just start off when you pray, say Dad, because every time you say Dad or Papa or Father, you are basically reaffirming the fact that he is your Father and you are a son of God. So yes, Daniel, will you pray for us, please?
Just this few words with that. I just want to add on to that. It's when my son, he took us with his pig money when he was 10 years old
that's
to Israel.
Box. Yeah,
to know with farming from pigs.
Okay.
He actually paid for our flight, so which is quite strange. Yeah,
sure, that's awesome.
With pig money, we went to Israel. But he was 10 years old and he wanted to be baptized and got baptized for his first time in the. But the main thing is when we walk around there, the word Abba means daddy.
Yeah, Abba's
so
father.
Yes, but it's Abba's daddy. And you see all these Israeli children, when they see their dads, they run up to them and to their dads, and you just hear them say, "Abba, Abba." And the word actually means daddy, not even dad. So I want to add to that even.
Okay.
And the Lord specifically left that in the Bible. There's only two Hebrew words that wasn't really translated. Was amen and Abba, but the two places where it got, there's more, but the two places where Abba is in the Bible, it's Romans 8 verse 15 and 16, "We've not received the spirit of fear, but the spirit in us call out Abba Father." And then in Galatians, where he speaks about, "Call me Abba." And God specifically didn't let that word. So if I read a German Bible, Torah Bible, that word Abba means, and it's there. So God didn't want us to say, I haven't seen my dad for a long time, I'm going to say, hello, father. I say, hello, dad. Hello, papa. Hello, yeah. Papi. So when I pray, really, I want to say to him, thank you, daddy. Thank you, daddy, that you are here. Thank you, daddy. And he's your daddy. And I want to say to you as we pray today that you will go out and give your dad, your daddy, God, a hug today. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day out of your hand. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the best day of my life where I can stop. Where I can really stop and say, I know I am a son because I have a dad who wants me to call him daddy. He left it as a little secret in the Word of God that he wants me to call him daddy. And Dad, thank you that we can call you not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, Dad, today. Father, I pray that each and every ear that hear and every heart that's open now, I really want you to stop. Just be silent in your heart. Lord, thank you that your silence is enough. Thank you that you proclaim, not us, but you proclaim over every single person that says, Lord, I choose you. Jesus, I choose you. I believe that God is the Father. If you want to say that in your heart today, if you want to shout it out, there's nothing that keep it in. God, Dad, I believe you are my dad. You are my father. I receive my sonship through the blood of Jesus. Amen. I am a son again, a firstborn son. Thank you that you are my dad. And because I know that Jesus is my Savior, I'm saved. And I proclaim and pray now that the Holy Spirit will come over you. But as Jesus was baptized, it will come into you and it will stay in you. That Spirit that calls out, Abba, Father, you are truly saved. And I proclaim over you, man, woman, daughter, son, you are my beloved son, in whom I am greatly pleased. Welcome back, son. I see it that the Lord, he says in Malachi 4 verse 6, he says the heart of the father is back to the children, the heart of the children what? Back to their daddy. Back to daddy. And I believe it in my heart today that I see these hearts of the sons and daughters of God rushing back to daddy, and I see you with open arms, and I see him boastfully. I see the Father of heaven on earth with his open arms, and I see the creation exulting, being happy, shouting out, this is the sons of God. The rocks proclaim it, says Jesus. They shout out, you are a son of God. You are a son of God. You are a firstborn son. Welcome back, son. Welcome back, my daughter, into your sonship as my child. And you call out, daddy. Thank you, Lord, that I can pray on each and every one now. Malachi 4 verse 2. And for those who are called into me, there will be healing under my wings, and they will break out. And as a cattle boy, I can explain this to you, that when a calf runs out of a stall, you cannot keep his energy in. And I believe that energy of life-giving, life in abundance. Yes, yeah. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the truth, John 10 verse 10. But that's your but day today. This is the beautiful day of the Lord. Your but day is today. Take this from Jesus Christ. But I came to give life and life in abundance. And you run out of a calf like a calf out of a stall who can't be contained because you have a new life in Christ. Amen. I pray this, Lord, that we will receive this and we will live this in authority as your sons to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Daniel. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. And I just pray the Father's blessing over you and blessing over your ministry, over your farm, and that God will use you powerfully and mightily with your calling that He's laid on your heart. And that's sonship. And that is just bringing back the children to the Father.
Amen. And I receive it and I thank you. If you allow me, I would just like to blow the shofar. The shofar is just a kudu horn, but God made the horn. God made the promises, not us. And he put the voice in us. He put the air in us. So it's not Daniel blowing it, but God proclaiming. And when we blow the shofar, it's proclaiming the power of the blood of the Lamb. We are applying that power of the blood of the Lamb. And the power of the blood of the Lamb is what I bless you with today. Amen. Is the love of the Lamb. The love of the Lion of Judah is in you. And that's what, through your blood, through his blood, you are the bloodline of God the Father. You are a true son of God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And that is unfortunately the end of this program. And I just want to thank you for joining me on Body Matters, where everybody in the body of Christ matters. We'll meet again next Saturday, same time, same frequency, with much more conversation from me, Alana Ulifiu. Be blessed.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 729 AM. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.